Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, as we continue our study in the life of Jesus Christ as it is told by Luke. And Luke wrote a lot of the New Testament. And he also wrote the book of Acts. We remember the purpose that he wrote, as it says in verse 4 of chapter 1, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So we know that Luke's writing is for this purpose, that we might have a certainty, a bedrock for our faith and for the teachings that has been laid upon us. So it's with that that we embark tonight in chapter 1, beginning in verse 57. Tonight, first of all, let's talk about what's in a name. What's in a name? Verse 57, we read, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. What is in a name? So Elizabeth, her time has come, and she gives birth. And this is exciting. They're rejoicing about how God has shown such great mercy. The eighth day, they circumcise the little boy. And they have their little naming ceremony, and he is called Zechariah. Zechariah, name means Jehovah remembers. Oh, it's very fitting, isn't it? Jehovah has remembered their prayers and their cries for so many years. But Elizabeth says, no, his name is not Zechariah. Why does she say that? Because this baby's already been named. And this baby wasn't named by her. It wasn't named by Zechariah. This baby was named by God. This name came from heaven for this little boy. His name is John. The name John means this: Jehovah is a gracious giver. Jehovah is a gracious giver. It's made up of those two words, Jehovah and grace. And in this very name, we see the grace of God that is being bestowed not just upon Zechariah and Elizabeth, but upon the world. As John, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, his very name declares, Jehovah, you're gracious. Jehovah, you're gracious. You know that Zechariah was told the name by Gabriel when Gabriel first appeared to him there in the temple. And he said, Gabriel told him, his name shall be called John. They would have known the meeting. They would have understood this. And indeed, it could have been that Elizabeth was thinking of this very name when she said in verse 25, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. What is in a name? Well, this was the name God gave to this little boy. And it was purposeful. It had a reason. Because God wants his people to know, and he wants us to know that he is gracious. Now, what is exciting about Luke's gospel is all this backstory that we don't have in other gospels. All of these exciting things that are happening that lay the groundwork for the things that we know more about Jesus and the other gospels tell us. But what Luke gives us is God is moving among the people. Things are beginning to happen. Things happened long before Gabriel appeared to Mary. Well, what's in a name? Well, here we see that the name of John meant something. Jehovah is a gracious giver. Now, the angel came with another message to another young lady. Well, this was being young lady. Elizabeth wasn't so young. To Mary. And he also declared another name, that name being Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah is salvation. And we see this great 1-2, John, grace, Jesus, salvation. God is at work. God is at work. Remember, after Malachi, we don't know much about what took place, but we know that many refer to it as 400 silent years. The Jewish people had returned, many of them back from exile to Jerusalem and to Judea. But it was nowhere near the glorious place until Rome began to build it back up. But now they were under the subjection of the Roman Empire under Caesar. No prophets were declaring. But now, God is moving. So, we see in verse 65, the talk of the town. Look at verse 65. Or beginning in verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Just a little side note, rabbit trail. Did you catch in verse 62 that... when they tried to get Zechariah's attention, they made signs to him. What had taken place? Did God take away his hearing? Just a speech. I just thought it was interesting. They were making signs to him, almost as if they didn't think he could hear. There's sign language for you, for those who are in sign language. I just thought that was interesting. All right, so look, the talk of the town. Did you catch all that? Zechariah, his mouth is loosed, and he begins to speak and to praise God. And we're going to get to that song in a little bit. But notice verses 65 and 66. This is the talk of the town, and so should be. I mean, so it should be. I mean, Zechariah and Elizabeth, their age was obvious. It's clear. They were old, well stricken in years. And they had a little baby. But not only that, but there were some miraculous things that took place around this birth. Zechariah, he couldn't speak. And then the very naming of this little boy. His name is John. That is his name. And so the talk of the town was all about what was happening. Notice it says that fear came, verse 65, came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. I mean, news was traveling. Something was happening. God is moving in our midst. Just take a moment and think about what that must have been like, because it was obvious that some miracles, some miraculous things were taking place, and that God was in it. Think about how exciting and thrilling that must have been for the God-fearing people, the people who had remained faithful to the Lord, whose families had raised them to fear God. Even though they didn't know exactly what the future held, they remembered the prophets and the hope that the prophets had spoken. And they taught their children, who taught their children, to still fear God. And now they begin to see these miraculous things taking place. And they begin to have this fear. I don't think it necessarily was a terrifying aspect of, oh no, not dread, no. A fear of excitement, anticipation, of reverence for their God, who they've feared, who they've honored for so long, they've waited. So news is traveling across the hill country of Judea. Verse 66, they heard and they laid it up in their hearts. And this is what they said, what manner of child shall this be? What's this child going to be like? Wouldn't you? If you knew somebody who had this who gave birth to a child in their old age, and you knew the events surrounding it, you knew the name was given to them by an angel of God, you would wonder too, what's so special about this baby? I love it, because what Luke is doing is he's just revving the motor. God is at work. God is at work. Oh, may we be a people today that look for the working of God in our midst. May we be a people who are taking steps of faith, who are fearing God, even though it may at times seem like He's silent. And we don't see Him working. He is. For us to take steps of faith and say, let's do an outreach dinner and invite our community to it and share the gospel with them. That is setting the stage to see God do mighty things. Because we could sit in these four walls and we could study the Word of God all we want, but never take these steps of faith. Never take steps to go out beyond and see what God can do. Oh, may God rev our motor. May God move, and may we be aware and see it. I need this myself. I can get so content and secure the way things are. And every day, knowing how that day is going to go and being content in it. I'm not taking big, risky steps. I'm not a risk taker. I shouldn't be surprised if I don't see God at work. I love how Luke is setting this for us. He's getting us ready. He's gearing us up because, hey, we've been taught about Jesus. This is the backstory. This is God moving in the people of Israel when He's apparently not spoken and done much up until this point. The end of verse 66, we read this, the hand of the Lord was with him. I believe what that means is the hand of the Lord is with John. The hand of the Lord was with John. That's a key phrase. It's an identifying phrase. And what we have learned so far is John really belongs to God and His service. I mean, this is God's idea, God's plan. Yeah, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they prayed and God answered their prayer. But listen, God did all this. God said, you're going to have a baby. God said, this is the name of your baby. And we're reminded here that the hand of the Lord was with him. This is a phrase that is only used by Luke, this exact phrase, the hand of the Lord. It's only used by Luke. Used here and twice in the book of Acts. Just flip over to Acts chapter 11 just to see this one other instance where you see this phrase used. In Acts chapter 11, just to get an idea of what it might mean to have the hand of the Lord upon you, right? What does that mean? Acts 11, we see here in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." You know, as I think of this, in Luke's use of this phrase, it seems to be one of Luke's ways of saying that God was guiding, that God was helping, that God was empowering. It is clear that the Lord is involved in this person or person's life. The Lord is involved. And Luke wants us to know that. Under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the hand of the Lord was upon John. And so we're remembering, watch John, watch him. As we go through the narrative, pay attention. And as you're paying attention, remember, he is not doing his own thing. He's not going about coming up with his own sermon notes. He's under the hand and guidance of the Lord. All right, so what's in a name? Well, John tells us that God is a gracious giver. The talk of the town. Everybody's excited about what God is doing in their midst. This is the hill country of Judea. It's a buzz. Did you hear what happened? Did you hear? Did you hear? Did you hear? Everybody likes to be the first to tell the story, right? Why do we get surprised about news and it traveling so quickly? The talk of the town. The Lord was with him. What comes next is something I believe we'll save for another time, but I want to talk about it for just a moment by way of introduction. In verses 67 down through 79, we have what is commonly called Zechariah's song. Now remember, we had Mary's song. That was back in chapter 1, verse 46 and following. And Mary is just praising God. And now what we see is Zechariah praising God. Now, none of these songs are in any other Gospels. It's only here in Luke. This is it. And remember Luke's purpose in writing, that you might know this with certainty the things that you have been taught and instructed. And it is God's choice through the Spirit and inspiration into Luke to include these songs to help provide the stability of our faith, of the things that we've been taught. To hear firsthand from people who saw face to face the angel of God, who heard God's message, who personally were impacted by the moving of God in their midst, and we get to hear their response. We get to hear their praise. Church, this is one of the reasons why it is so beautiful to hear you share. Because it is a response to the working and moving of God in you. And it is a reminder to all that hear that God is working, that God is moving, that God does direct in prayer, and that God does answer prayer. We got to hear from Mary in her song of praise. The excitement that was revving up within her as she realized that God was moving and that she got to bear the Messiah. And now you get to hear from Zechariah as his heart has been silenced for so long and finally unleashed. And what comes forth is not disdain, it's not bitterness, it's not anger, but praise. For he recognizes that God is moving, that God is working. And so it's with anticipation, and I trust you are excited to hear and listen to the very song of Zechariah. What's he going to say? What's he excited about? It would be fun to continue, but we're going to have to stop here for now. Nothing like bringing you up and dropping you, right? Come back next week. And also, I'm going to remind you, you can read ahead. Right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of studying your word together. Thank you for names, for the value and meaning of these names and how they communicate truth. Oh, thank you for the exciting things that you do, and you give us much to talk about. Oh, Lord, help us to be ready to give you praise. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to your working around us and in us. I pray your blessing upon these dear ones. We are your sheep. You are our shepherd. Guide and direct us this week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.